We pick up at the bottom of 58b, Nun Chet Amud Bet, with a discussion. We just finished talking about how the Tamid offering is meant to be the last offering of the day, and we said the exception to that is the Pesach offering, which actually comes afterwards. But otherwise, you have a positive commandment. It says Rach Aleha Hashlamim, right? And that's what we had. We finished off with Aleha Hashlamim Kol HaKorbanot Kunam. The last afternoon offering, the Tamid offering in the afternoon, completes all the other sacrifices. That's where we finished off. We pick up at the last line. Tan Rabbanan Tamid Kodem LePesach. The Tamid offering, the daily offering, comes before the Pesach. Pesach Kodem LeKetoret. The Pesach, however, comes before the Ketoret, which is the incense offering. Ketoret Kodemet LeNerot. And the incense offering, the daily incense offering, comes before the kindling of the menorah. Every night, the menorah stays alight throughout the night. And that's what this is. So we see actually that you would actually see that it's not a hard and fast rule that the Pesach offering is therefore the last one on after the Tamid, because every day you have Ketoret and you have the menorah, and it would seem that they do come after the Tamid offering. Why is that? Yochar Devash Nemar Bo Be'eriv Ubein Harbaim. It says in terms of the Pesach offering, which says you have to bring it in the Erev. That's a pasuk in Re'eh, where it talks about shechting the Pesach in the evening, and also talks about Bein Abayim also in the afternoon. In Parshat Bo, it talks about shechting the Pesach Bein Harbaim in the afternoon, and that should come after the Devar Shlone Mar Be'erev Ela Bein Abayim, as opposed to the Tamid offering, which it only says Bein Harbaim. You should check one in the morning and one Bein Harbaim. It never mentions the word Erev with it. So we see there's two mentions of night time or afternoon time, and therefore the Pesach offering comes later than the offering, the daily Tamid offering. Okay, that's what we say. And the Gemara says, well, Ihachi, if that is the case, Ketoret Venerot Nami Niknamu de Pesach. Well, then actually, if the Pesach offering has two statements made, then what should happen is it should also come last, even after then the burning, the Ketoret, the burning of the incense, and also the kindling of the menorah. Nami Nikdu de Pesach should also come before the Pesach. Why? Yuchai Devashin in Marbo, Be'erev, Ubein Abayim, because Pesach has this double expression, as we said. In Parshat Re, it says Be'erev, Ubein Abayim, it says in Parshat Bo, Devar, Shlone Marbo, Ela, Bein Habayim, Bevad. As opposed to when the menorah, where it just says Bein Harbaim, and also it talks about there's a pasuk. It's a pasuk that is in Shmot chapter 30, where it quotes. I quote you the full one, and it says Valot Aron Etanerot Bein Harbaim. When Aaron lights the lights, okay, talking about the menorah, it says Bein Harbaim. He does it in late afternoon, twilight time. Yaktirenu Ketoret Tamid Lifnei Hashem Ledore Techim. He also burns the Ketoret. So this really talks about Bein Harbaim, talks about both the menorah as well as the Ketoret, and only talks about it in terms of the verse Bein Harbaim. So therefore, Pesach, because it says both Erev and Bein Harbaim, according to our logic, should come later and should be the last thing. So in other words, you should have the Tamid offering, and then you should have the Ketoret and the Neirot, and then only afterwards have the Pesach offering. That is what we say. We're going to see actually that this is another version down below. We are going to see that this actually is how it is actually done. But for now, we are still in this first version, which says it's the Tamid, then the Pesach, and then afterwards you have the ketoret, and afterwards have the lighting of the menorah. Okay, so what do we say? It should come later. Shneimar bo be'erev u'bein abayim. The Pesach says both erev and bein abayim. It should come later. The davash lo nabon ela bein abayim. The ketoret and the menorah only say bein abayim bilvad. And the Gemara answers for this version. Shani hatam. It is different over there. Dimiut rachmana oto. Because there is the part of the pasuk which talks about lighting the menorah and burning the ketoret says oto detanya, and actually we quote the verse, but the actual verse says before yaroch oto Aaron should light it me'erev ad boker. We don't quote those first two words, but those are, it's obviously very important for us to understand those because otherwise the verse is taken out of context. It says he should prepare these or to it me'erev ad boker, and then it says me'erev ad boker, and it says tain la midata shetay duleket me'erev ad boker. So really, what it says is that the light or to they are the last things, and they should be lit later. And that is what we are talking about over here. They have to, or they have to set it morning to evening, or evening to morning, and it should be over there. It says for Ered Rad Boker, evening to morning means that it really should be, that it should burn the whole night, and therefore probably would be the last thing that you light. The Gemara says, Davar Acher. Another understanding. This is the only avoda. All avoda, all sacrificial stuff is generally, all sacrifices and everything in the temple is very much a daytime activity. Rav Hirsch explains, he says that if it was done during the night, it would be seen to be really a kind of more superstitious type of thing, a god of cruelty, a god of darkness, whereas our God is a God of light, and therefore all the korbanot are already done during the daytime. There's only one exception over here. It says nothing else is done from night to morning except this one. Except for this, i.e. lighting of the menorah that miraculously stays alight the whole night. My timer, what is the reason that this is done this way? Amakra yaroch oto. Here we have the full pasuk mentioned. He should prepare it oto Aaron uvanav me'erev ad boker. Aaron, his son, should prepare it to burn from evening until morning. Oto me'erev ad boker v'ein davar acher me'erev ad boker. This specifically gets burned from night to morning, but nothing else gets burned from night to morning. V'etkish torat nerot, and as we saw, there is that connection in the pasuk between the menorah and lighting the incense, the offering of the incense. So incense and menorah, we talk about them not simultaneously, but really very much at they are considered connected to these things. All right, so those are part of the, it's part or all mingled in really between those two. Okay, Tani Kushan, however, we have another brighter which talked about our kasha, our thing, and it goes against what we saw earlier. Tamid kodem de ketoret. The tamid definitely comes before the ketoret. The incense, ketoret kodemet le nerot, and the ketoret comes before the ketoret, the incense comes before lighting the menorah. Venerot kodmot le pesach. And now, according to this verse, the menorah is not the last thing to be lit. You have the Pesach that comes after that, and the Pesach is the one that finishes after everything. And now it makes sense. Yochad davash nemar bo be'erev ben abayim, davash lo nemar ela ben abayim bevad. And the reason is just from a textual perspective, because with the Pesach it talks about both erev, which we often use as a frame for night. It could be twilight, whatever ve'eriv, and to be in between the afternoons, those two statements are mentioned, as opposed to the Ketoret stroke menorah, which just says Bein Arbaim, as we quoted earlier. All right, v'hakativ oto. So now the question becomes, what do you do with oto? In other words, surely that this is the last thing you do. He oto mi ba'alei l'miutei avoda shibifnim. What it means is to exclude something that is done inside the sanctuary, okay, as opposed to the Pesach, which is offered outside. The Pesach offering is offered like a normal sacrifice on the outside altar, as opposed to the Ketoret, Ma'aninu, and what is this offering? The last offering of the day, and specifically it's offered inside, i.e. on the golden altar, as opposed to the copper altar. The golden altar was inside the what's known as the Heichal, where you had the Shulchan on the one side, the menorah on the other side, and the Kodesh Kodashim straight in front of you, and the ark, the golden, not the ark, the Kodesh Kodashim housed the ark, but what you had in front of all of that in a kind of triangle form, the menorah on the one side, the Shulchan on the other side, and making up the corner of the triangle really was the golden altar, and the golden altar, which was what's known as Mizbach HaKetoret, the Ketoret altar. So that is that's what's known as an inside offering, as opposed to outside the Heichal, where you would bring up all other offerings as a rule. There are one or two that do come inside, but all these other offerings are offered on the outside altar, and this is what we're saying: the last thing to be done is in the afternoon. Is inside, and that's what we're talking about. That's the otor over there. Sachdach Simidim, what might you have said? Huyokativ, Valot Aron, Etanerot, Bein Habayim, Yaktirena, as we said, when Aaron lights these lamps in the afternoon, he has to burn it. Ema, Naglik, Nerot, Beresha. You might think that the lights are litten first. Vada Naktir Ketoret, and afterwards the Ketoret is burnt, and whereas in our brachas up to now we said the Ketoret goes first and then you light the menorah, miut rachmana oto it, that's why we use, that's what we use this word it for over there, that it is the last one and nothing else takes place after it, and we're talking here about the inside things over here. So Ketoret first, the offering of the golden on the golden incense altar, you offer the incense and then you burn the candles, but those are both inner services, if you, as opposed to the outer service on the outer mizbech. Ela bein abayim yaktirena lamedi. So why do I need the thing? The bein abayim, he has to burns it. So what is that coming to add? Lamedi, what's that coming to teach us? Hakikama rachmana. No, this is what it's saying. Idan de lakachat nerot. Miktara Ketoret. It says at the time that you light the lights, the Ketoret should already be burning. Okay, so you have to light the Ketoret, it has to be burning, and then only afterwards you light the menorah. Okay, carrying on with this this type of idea, Tanur Rabbanan Ein Chadavar Shukodem Datamid Shoshachar Ela Ketoret Bivad. And actually, you might think that the nothing can come before the offering in the morning, the Tamid in the morning. So therefore, we see that the Ketoret does come before that, and can come before that. Shneimar Ba Baboker Baboker, and this is in the Pesukim talking about the incense. It says Baboke Baboke in the morning, in the morning. Viaktum Ketoret Devar Bo Bo Boke Baboke Ketiv Victira Lav Aron Ketoret Samim Baboke Baboke El Devar Shlone Mar Bo Ela Boker Had. As we said, because the Ketoret says Baboke Baboke, a double expression of morning, it should come before something which only says morning. When you start burning the incense in the morning, it says when you put the and then you also do the menorah as well after that, but it should come before something which only says Baboke. We say this on Rosh Chodesh, the Keves Echad Taseh Baboke Ve Keves HaShini Taseh Bein Harbaim. That's what we talked about. We talked about Bein Harbaim a few minutes ago, and now we talk about the Boker. All right, that is what we are talking about there, and the actual Pasuk, where we learned it from, that other Pasuk, which we haven't quoted yet. It says, V'ktira alav Aron Ketoret Samim Baboke Baboke Ve Tivoa Tenerot Yaktirena. Aaron has to burn this, the Ketoret. He burns it every morning when he looks after the lamps. Okay, that is where that pasuk comes, and it teaches you that over there it says baboker, baboker, a double expression of boker, so that's why it precedes something that just says one boker, and two bokers come before one boker. All right, and the brighter continues. Ein lecha davar shemitakev char tamid ela ben abayim. So nothing comes after the tamid offering of afternoon, except the ela ketoret v'neirot upesach, and the ketoret comes afterwards, the neirot, the lighting of the menorah, and also the pesach offering as well. However, now we thought it was just those things that come after the tamid. Now this brighter comes and adds in some more things. Mechus kaparim be'erev pesach. Someone who is a mechus kaparim. What is a mechus kaparim? Someone who had a very severe form of tumah on them, and what happens is that they had to separate for a certain amount of time, generally a week, and then they had to perform they had to go to the mikveh on the seventh day, and then they became a tefillah yom, and now they pass through the night, and then they're known as mechusa kaparim. They are lacking atonement. So what is their atonement? The atonement is they still have to bring an offering in the Beit HaMikdash. So once they bring the offering in the Beit HaMikdash, that is their final step, and then they become pure. So now, what are we talking about here? Mechus kaparim be'erev Pesach. He has to bring his offering, otherwise he hasn't achieved his final stage of purification. He's still defined as a someone who's not allowed to eat korbanot until he's offered his offerings he still is in the states of mechus kaparim, lacking atonement, and therefore he can't eat the offerings. So he has to bring his offerings, otherwise you wouldn't be able to eat the Pesach that night. And if you don't eat the Pesach, that is problematic. You would get karet. So therefore we see that this person, well, I suppose maybe he won't get karet if, you know, it was shechted on his behalf, whatever, he just won't be able to eat, etc. Okay, that we'll discuss that kind of stuff later on in our Masechet. But for now, we're talking about a Mechus Kaparim that delayed his offering until even after the Pesach offering. And now the rabbis made a dispensation for this guy. So even though it's meant to be the Pesach and meant to be the last offering, this guy can even bring it after the thing. So he was, for example, a Metzora, was Av, whatever the case is. And therefore, if he didn't bring his offering before the Tamid offering, the rabbi said, listen, you could even bring it after the Tamid offering. And he goes and he dips himself as he does tefillah a second time after he brings the offering. This is Mechus Kaparim offering, and this allows him to eat his Pesach lamb in the evening. So that's another exception, and we just limit it seemingly to Erev Pesach. However, Rabbi Yishmael ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha Omer, Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha, actually adds this and expands this concept. Af Mechus Kaparim, b'sha'ari mot ha'shana, he said, even a kind of a Zav or a Metzora, whatever the case is, even he can do it if he's missing atonement all throughout the rest of the days of the year. If he needs to, he can bring it afterwards, after the Tamid offering in the afternoon, which I am watching now. Shetova v'alchei kochim be'eriv, and then he toivels and he can then eat his sacrifice later that evening. So now, Bishlam at Tanakama, you can understand the Tanakama's rationale for allowing this person to do this and for allowing this korban to kind of push its way in, as it were. Why? Because you have a good answer. Yavo asay de Pesach shi'ash bo karet. You have the asay, the commandment of the Pesach, which if you don't fulfill that commandment, then you will get karet. Virche, and therefore it pushes aside the asay, de hashlama, as we said, the positive commandment of the tamid offering being the last offering that you offer in a specific day. So that aleh hashalem korba kula korbanot kulam shein bo karet. So therefore it makes sense that this guy, if he doesn't eat his Pesach, he'll get karet, and therefore it pushes aside just a normal, in inverted commas, positive commandment. So it's that would be more serious, and therefore you have a right to push it off. Ella Rabbi Shmuel ben Osha Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruchah, but according to the second version, which says this could be done any time during the year, my ulmei dahai asay mihai asay. What is the advantage really of this mitzora, for example, coming to the mechusa kaparim, coming to offer his offering? Why does it push aside, even after the tamid offering? Why does it push aside the tamid offering's place as the last offering? How could it do? It's just really one assay. This guy's got an assay to bring his offering. If he waits, it's not the end of the world. One would think that if he missed it, he missed the deadline. Well, he brings it the next day. So that's not the end of the world. There's no punishment for bringing your korban not one day late in this instance. So he should be okay. Why do we say no? Now we bring it and we push aside the fact that the korban tamid is meant to be the last offering of the day. So you got one assay and you got versus another assay, and they seem to be on the same level. Why does one trump the other in terms of it? So the answer is I'm Ravina, I'm Rav Chista. Ravina said that Rav Chista says hacha bechatzat off skinan. We're talking here about not a normal sacrifice. We're talking here about a bird sacrifice, what's known as a chatat of a bird, right? So sometimes you have to bring those types of offerings. Okay, and what happens was, the unique thing about this is that as opposed to animals, where a portion of the animal is burnt up on the altar, the fats are put on the altar and burnt up with the bird or la, it is burned up totally. You squeeze the blood out, and then the whole bird gets totally burned up, as a normal animal or la as well also gets totally burned up. So we're not talking about that. We're talking here about the chatat. Now the interesting thing about the chatat is that all you do is you throw the blood, but nothing gets burnt. You give that bird to the kohen and he eats it. So therefore we have not violated on a technical level the hashlama element, that being the last element. What is the last element? What was last burned up? That was an animal, right? So this bird offering that you've got here is not violating that, because really it is just there's no fats for this bird to be burned up with. So the last fats that were burned were the tamid's thing, and so therefore you haven't violated it. That's Ravina's answer. However, Rav Papa Amar, he says, no, I could even say, afilu tamei b'chatat u'behema. You could even say, we're talking here about a sin offering of a person, what must we be talking about in terms of this, that you don't violate the korban tamid being the last offering of the day. Male umilina barosh. So what do? You bring it, okay? You shecht it, and throw the blood and everything like that. But you leave it barosho shel mizbeach. You leave it on top of the mizbeach, and you don't go and burn it. So what happens is, normally, what the way we normally understand things is that you disqualify a sacrifice by leaving it overnight. that is what's known as lina, and therefore that it's all pasul. You're not allowed to, it's one of the disqualifications, and you'd have to burn the korban, you'd have to destroy the korban because it's no longer fit for use. However, what you're doing here is you're bringing this offering and you're just leaving it on top of the mizbech, and you're not actually burning it. So you fulfilled the fact that you've actually done it, but then you're keeping the status of the korban tamid as the last offering. And then once that is the last one of the day, and this gets left over the whole night, and the next morning you actually burn it up, and that is fine. So they're burned after the tamid of shachar, the next morning's tamid offering, you can burn them up. So you've also kind of technically fulfilled it. You have not you've kept it, you've brought the offering, number one, and number two, you have not let it go overnight, and therefore it has to get totally destroyed. What you've done is you've just left it on top of the Mizbach in a designated place, probably, as we'll see, and it gets burned the next morning. So therefore, you fulfilled the Tamid offering being the last one in the afternoon. Okay, and therefore you haven't. That's another way not to violate the positive commandments. But the Gemara says a lot of these people, if a Matsura or Zav or whatever the case is, they are the classic case of Mechusa Kaparim. They are missing atonement. They also have to bring a number of offerings. They don't just bring an Olah. They also bring a Chatat, etc. What happens is, we're going to deal with the Olah in a bit. What about the Asham? Most of them also have to bring an Asham offering. A guilt offering as well. Vishlam or Rapapa, you can understand according to Rapapa, Hanu, the Malin lay. No, you can understand according to Rapapa, you can leave it on top of the altar. No problem. That's also, you sacrifice it and everything's good to go, but you just leave it on top of the altar, thereby avoiding any lina issues, and you burn it the next morning. So that you can do that. Ela Rav Chista, but according to Rav Chista's understanding, my Ikalamema, what can you say? Because of the fact that he was talking about a bird katat. So, you know, what about the Asham? And, you know, what does he do with that? Amri, Shkrav Ashamo. According to him, he says, no, it must have been a case where you have brought your Asham before. In other words, you brought it before, and now what all that was left was your katat. Veka Ola, as we mentioned, there is another sacrifice that they all have to bring, is an Ola. So you bring an Ola, you bring a katat, and you bring an Anasham over here. So now, what about the Ola? V'chitema, maybe you would say, Ola lo ma'akva. You might say that if you don't bring the Ola, then you haven't missed out on atonement. You meant to do it, but it's not the end of the world if you don't. Tanya, we learned a brighter which says as follows: Rabbi Shmuel Barosh, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broko Meir, Kushem Shekatoto Vashamo Makvin Oto Kain Olato Makvato. So you see, according to the same person, Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broko, says the same way: if you haven't brought your Chatat or your Asham, then you will not achieve full atonement. So too, if you haven't brought your Olah, you haven't received atonement. So therefore, we see that can't be the case over here. You're missing atonement still because you haven't brought your Olah. V'chi tema, maybe you would suggest Shekava Olato, maybe the Olah was already brought, and therefore the same way we said the Asham was brought, so too the Olah was brought. You might think that that would be an answer as well. Ma Krava Oto Korim Katat Rishon Umi Krava Oto Korim Katato Rishon. Can you bring an Olah offering before you bring a Katat offering? The answer is no. Vatanya Vikri Vata Asher Lachatat Rishona. We learned a pasuk that says you have to bring it to the Kohen, and the Kohen offers up the Katat as the first offering. The Katat, really, which means, says, listen, I've sinned. I'm sorry, Hashem, and this is my Katat. I admit that I'm wrong. Afterwards, you bring the Olah, which gets burned up, which is kind of a symbol of the restoration of the relationship between you and Hashem. So, therefore, a Katat always comes before an Olah, and therefore, Vikriv, Tashir Katat Rishona, Ma Tamud Gemara, why do we have to have that? If you just learned that Chatat comes before Nola, Harei Kvar Neimar, Et Hasheni Yase Ola Kamishpat. The second one you bring up as an Ola, like according to the law. So which means that you must have brought up the Chatat first and then only afterwards. You bring the second one up as an Ola. Okay, so you can't tell me that that means that. Ela, Zer Banav, this is a prototype. Okay, Lechol Chatzotot, to teach us about all Chatzat offerings, all sin offerings. Shiyu Kodmot, Lechol Olot, Abayim Imehim. They always precede any Ola offerings that are brought with him. V'kai Malan, and what do we say? We go so far as to say da fidu chatata of korim la olat bahema, the sin offering of a bird, even a bird which is not considered nearly as substantial as an animal, if it is a chatat, the chatat bird comes before an ola, even if the ola is a ola is a full animal. Okay, so that's that. Amarava. So about this. Rava gives an answer now. He says, listen, Shani Olat Matura, we're still left with a problem up until now. We haven't been able to see how you can get around not violating the positive commandment of Hashlama. And this Mechus Kaparim can bring his offering afterwards. Surely he's violating this principle. Why does the one positive commandment go against the other one? And finally, Rava backs out to try to explain it logically. He says, listen, Amarava Shani Ola Mitsura Drachmana Amar Valea Kohen et Olato Shela Kavar. Really it talks about the Ola of a Mitsura is different. Okay, Ola Mitsura is different because the Pasuk says Valea Kohen et Ola. The Kohen offers the Ola up, which means that in this case of the Mitsura, an Ola can come first. Okay, so in this case we say we're not as fixated on the Chatat coming first. First, we say for an Ola, a Matzora, the Ola can come first and not the Chatat. Okay, now another point related to that previous one. Amalei Rav Shemin Ba'aba, Rav Shemin Ba'aba, Rav Papa says, Rav Papa Lididach, according to your opinion, Damata Male Milena, Mereshora Al Mizbech, Kama. In terms of you said what did you say? The way you do it is that you shech the offering. Okay, you catch its blood, you sprinkle the blood during the day, but you then don't burn it up because you want to leave the tamid offering as the last thing in the afternoon, and you just leave it on top of the altar. Okay, if you leave it on top of the altar, Rosh Hashanah Mizbeach, Kama Vavdinan Milta Lekuanim Datu Be'ele Dei Takala. Is that really so that you're going to leave this offering over here, and people will come to stumble over it? The Kohanim will come and not know that these have been separately designated and only meant to be brought tomorrow, and what they're going to do, they're going to bring them now. Once they bring them now, that violates the principle Aleh HaShalem Korbanot Kulam. Okay, yes, by the way, there are a whole lot of fats and stuff that are brought at night, but what we're saying is that they need to be already left over from the day, and you started doing it, but it was just, the fire has taken, burnt a portion of it, now you just finish off the burning of the fats and the limbs at night. So that is allowed, but to start something from the word go, that is not allowed. And therefore, so how do we answer that? Savre diyomahu. We say, we haven't finished off the question. They are going to think, Savre diyomahu, they will think they are today's fats. Vatu lekture, they're going to go and burn them. So how do we get around that? Amalei, kwanim zrizim haim. No, the kwanim ozrizim, which normally means, or in this case, normally we say that kwanim act with alacrity. Here we more mean that they act very carefully, and they're not going to let that happen. They will tell their friends, and therefore it will be known that these items, behind this point from here to here, aren't going to be offered on the altar except until tomorrow morning. All right. But that leads on to a further problem. Amalei Rav Ashi le Rav Kahana, so Rav Ashi said to Rav Kahana, Amalei Rav Huna b'Rav Natan, Rav Papa, whoever it was that says it, v'akama, the law of Mikteri Emurim, k'alel no mo'te achli basar, as long as the Emurim, the parts that are sacrificed on the altar, the certain fats and the like, are offered on the altar, k'onim are not allowed to eat the meat. Because what happens is, generally, except for Nula, which gets totally burnt, what happens is there's a certain amount of meat that gets given, gets burnt on the altar, and the rest of it gets given to the Kohanim. If we say over here the meat hasn't been burnt on the altar, that portion hasn't been burnt on the altar, then the meat can't be eaten by the Kohanim. Okay, Emurim Kohen lo matzei achle basar, they're not allowed to eat the meat. Vatanya, yochoy Kohanim Rishayim b'chaze v'shok kodem b'chatzat haktarat Emurim. You might think that in the case of a shlamim, where the Kohanim get the breast and the thigh from it, you might think that they could eat it before the emrim, the portion that is burnt up on the altar, has been burnt. Tamud Omar. Therefore, the pasuk tells you, "Victir haKohen etachelev hamizbecha." The Kohanim have to burn the fat on the altar, the chelev, the special and inedible fat on the altar. And it says, "Vahadar," and afterwards it says, "Vayachaze laron uvenav." And then the chest, the breast portion, is for Aaron and his children. So we see that the Kohanim aren't going to be able to eat it. So you know, everywhere you go, in terms of this, you do have a problem. And it says, and it gets worse, so come to Kohanim de Achli Basar Balim no Mirkapri, and if the Kohanim don't get a chance to eat the meat yet, you might think, well, okay, well, they just have to wait to eat the meat. No, that is a big problem, because if the Kohanim haven't eaten the meat, then the owners do not achieve atonement. Titania, as we learned another writer, Vachlu Otam Asher Kupara Bahem, pasuk says they eat those things which were atoned for other people, but a stranger can't eat them. And when I made sure Kohanim Ochlin Ubalin Mekaprim, therefore the Kohanim, just by the fact that they actually sit and eat this meal, the owners actually achieve atonement. So it's not just them eating, they're actually providing atonement through that eating. All right, so whichever way we go, we are banging our head against various problems. Over here, every time we try to get out of a problem, we've answered one of the questions and problems again, so we've raised another one. And therefore, we are at a bit of a dead end over there. Amalei, and therefore, we kind of throw our hands up in the air. We say as follows, Kevan, Delo Efshar. No, it is impossible not to do this. Asuin Kami, Shenet Mu, or Sheavdu. What happens is we say that these pieces are like they became tame or lost, and it says the Tanya Yachol Nitmu Emurim or Shavdu Lo Ayu Kohanim Zechayin Bechaz Veshok. You might think in the case of the Kohanim getting their portions, you might think, what happens if the portions that are meant to be burnt up on the altar become tame or get lost? You might think that still that's you know, the Kohen's problem, okay, and therefore that's the altar's problem, and the Kohen, it is the Kohen's problem, going back on that, you might think the Kohen, if the parts get tame, the Kohen can't continue his eating of the Chazen Shok, if it became tame, as we said, Tamad Omar, Vaya Chazav El Aron, Uvanav Mikomakom. No, it belongs to them in any way. In other words, just because even if it wasn't, nothing was there, even if certain things were left out altogether. All right, similar kind of discussion over there, a similar kind of discussion over here. Rav Kahana Rami, Rav Kahana raised this contradiction. Ketiv lo yalin chalev chagi aboker. You're not allowed to leave any of the fat of my the festival offering until the morning. Talking about the korban Pesach, it says ad aboker hu d'lo yalin. You're not allowed to leave until the morning. It says hi kulalala kula yalin, but throughout the night you can leave it. That's the implication. Ketiv v'ktir alei chalvei hashlamim. shlamim, but on it you have to burn the fat of the shlamim. What do we say? Aleh shlamim kora korbanu kanam. You have to finish it off. In other words, the afternoon offering finishes off everything. Over there, and you shouldn't have any more. So, you know, how do you have this? How do you reconcile that? Because one, it says it should be, you know, it can be left throughout the night. And the other one says, no, it's got to be the last one. So how do you reconcile that? Humotiv lav, humafarek la. He asked it and he answered it. Okay, we're talking here, shenitotru. Okay, we're talking about the fat that can stay throughout the night. That's fat that's left over after the blood was sprinkled, and the blood was sprinkled during the day, that is good. As we said, there might be some fats left over, and you can continue burning those throughout the night. Okay, that, you know, you meant to offer them before, but we do run out of time, and therefore this is part of what we would call the service of night, which corresponds to Maariv, what we would say Maariv today, the burning of the fats in the limbs that wasn't done during the day. You didn't get time during the day. Okay, similar kind of discussion. Rami Lay Rav Safra, Larav Rav Safra asked Rav Kativ, Lo Yalina Boke Zevach Chag HaPesach. It says you're not allowed to leave until morning the Pesach sacrifice. Laboke Hu De Lo Yalin. Until morning you can't leave it. High Kol Alay Yalin. But throughout the whole night you can actually do it. So how does he understand it? Vav Kativ, Olat Shabbat Shabbat Shabbato. The offering of each Shabbos on its own Shabbos. It says, Velo Olat Kol Veshabbat Velo Olat Kol Veyom Tov. So, you know, in other words, if you have an Olah of a Friday, okay, you can't offer it, and you haven't offered it up in time, you can't burn it up on Shabbat. And similarly, the same kind of thing, if you've been late to burn the afternoon offering, and all of a sudden it is now Yom Tov, you can't bring something that was done on a weekday on Shabbat or a Yom Tov. Okay, so therefore, what you know, that's the question over there. You shouldn't be able to burn these Pesach offering fats because it's a weekday offering. And the answer is no. I'm a leik far Rami Nihale Rav Abba Bachia la Rav Chia va Abba Bachia. Sorry. Answer this in front of Rabbi Abai. Vashani Lai asked it and he answered it. Abba Asosh Chaliot B'Shabbat Askinen. We're talking here where Erev Pesach falls on a Shabbat. Okay, the Chalvesh Shabbat Kavrin V'Yom Tov. And we say, because Shabbat is a higher level of holiness, actually the transfer on, you know, the fats of the Shabbat could actually be burned, because more holy could be burned, you know, on the altar on a festival time. And he says, Amalei, sure, he says, this whole, you know, are you saying this whole drosha, v'dei mishum dechelva Shabbat, makarin v'yom tov, are you saying this whole drosha, because, you know, Shabbat offering can be offered on a festival, if you're saying that that's the case, ananeki v'nei lala b'hai kra, v'abba sash kol yot b'Shabbat, hu diktiv, are you really telling me that this verse is written specifically about Erev Pesach falling on Shabbat? That doesn't happen. It happens very rarely. And therefore, you know, how and not a normal case over there. And the answer is Amalei ya shavke lekra du dochek umokim anashay. Really, what we're saying is that leave this pasuk because it kind of it forces itself into be talking about this specific case. Okay, in other words, even though it might be a bit of a push of an answer, we do accept the answer. All right, we will pick up tomorrow with further details about the Korban Pesach. Now we start moving into a discussion about shechting offerings not for their own sake. And we're going to see this is quite a strict law when it comes to Pesach, stricter than other things. But we will leave that for tomorrow. Bezrat Hashem, everyone should have a great day.